We even know how.
Good morning. Minister LaShawn, are you out there?
Good morning, yes.
Okay, continue. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God for you. Father, we come to you this morning again thanking you so much for all you have done. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for the clarity of this call. We thank you, Lord God, for your children who has assembled this morning as King's kids expecting a blessing from you, Lord. We are telling you what we want, Father, Lord God. We are telling you that we want clarity in this call. We're telling you that we want peace within, Father, Lord God. We're telling you that all the highways and byways will be cleared and safe for those for traveling, mercy, Father, Lord God. We are telling you that we are thankful for all you have done. We thank you for rising us up this morning and being able to use our limbs. We thank you for rising us up this morning and starting our day off with you. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for giving us an opportunity to come to you to repent and ask for forgiveness, Father, Lord God, because you don't have to do that. You could have been a God of disunderstanding, but again, you are a God of understanding. You are a God of a second chance. We know that because of you, we are here. So thank you, God. We thank you for all you are doing for us in the name of Jesus. We are taking it to the throne room and touching and agreeing, knowing that it is so. So as this call goes on, we just thank you for the word that is going to come forth this morning. We ask that you please replenish the speaker as they are giving back so freely of you, Father, Lord God. We thank you for everybody that is on the line, those who spoke and did not speak, Father, Lord God. And we continue to bless your name and thank you for this call spreading. We already told you that we wanted to go international, Father, Lord God, and it has been so. So we know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, our sovereign, our King, and we love you for that so. Amen, amen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I am turning the call over to our host, and I would like to thank everyone who called in. You all have a beloved, blessed day in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Sister LaShawn, for greeting the people, for opening us up in prayer. And I am Robin Wilson here in New Jersey, and family, I too want to welcome you to the Master's Call. And just as Minister LaShawn said, we are telling him what we want. Father, we are telling you that we love you, we honor you, we exalt you, and we thank you for what you have done in our lives, and most importantly, through this call, the Master's Call. This is a powerful call that was founded by Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. And Lord, we thank you because of your faithfulness and because they heard your voice. Many of us are being blessed to be a part of this family. I also wanted to tell him about his goodness and tell him how much we love him and how much I honor him and how I am so glad that each one of you have been able to get on this call. We have a scripture that we stand on, and our scripture, you can find that in Psalms 88:13, and it reads, "But to you, to you, to you, to you, Lord, we have cried out, and in the morning our prayer comes before you." We start this call off by praying to him, seeking his kingdom, putting him first, extolling his greatness, because he has been good to us. And this is celebration time. This is Thanksgiving. We thank him every day, but we know that this week we're getting together with our family members and thanking him for his goodness. So family, feel free to go to our website. Our website is themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. You can listen to every single one of our messages there. They've been archived for you from day one. We are going into our third year, and Lord God, we are telling you thank you. Thank you for what you have done the first 2 years of this call, and thank you for what you are going to do as we continue the Master's Call. And we also have an email address for you, and send us your praise report, your prayer request, and you can send that all to themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. We are looking for prayer intercessors to join us, join us. It is a privilege and an honor, men and women of God, to pray on behalf of others. There's been so many things that have gone on. Me here on the East Coast, this entire shoreline, we can pray for these people. We can pray for others. Let God use you mightily. So send us an email if you would love to join us as a prayer intercessor. And at this time, I'll continue with our announcements as we go on. But I would like to bring the woman of God forward. She has a powerful message. Her name is Jonah. And Jonas, if you are out there, we are glad that you would love to impart the word of God to the TMC family. Minister Jonas, are you there?
I am here this morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. This is Robin. I am glad you are joining us. Come forward, mighty woman of God, and give us the word of God.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much, Robin. You know, it's really an honor for me to be on this call. I've been a follower of this call since the inception, and so I'm just honored to have a voice on this call this morning. Thank you so much, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa. I really, really appreciate this opportunity to come before the master's call, the listeners this morning. You know, I have to give all glory and honor to God and, you know, for him not giving up on me. I don't know about you, but I haven't always been the perfect daughter to God. And so I just thank him for not giving up on me and you know, during a time when I gave up on him, because at the time, the way I looked at the church did not impress me. And so I was out of the kingdom of God, or out of the church, for about 15 years. And during that time, I know, and he and I have had this discussion, that he always knew that I would be back. And I did, and I came back with a fervor on the inside of me that I really wanted to be a better representation of God. And you know, I guess the last couple of years, I've lost over 100 pounds, and a lot of that came from as God began to reveal to me who he was and what his kingdom should look like. And as I looked across the body of Christ, and I even looked at myself in the mirror, we were, and it's still at times a poor representation of who he is and the representation of the kingdom of God. So that is my desire. God and I partner together every single day to be able to bring that representation back to the kingdom of God. This morning I want to talk to you about and I guess we can title this, you know, life is a trip. When I said this, it was kind of funny, but I really mean that life is really a trip. It's a journey. And so as I go through different parts of the journey of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about that area in your life and how you can actually just kind of chronicle through the different things that have happened in your life to what Jesus had to take on prior to the resurrection. And in Matthew 16 and 13, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but this is after the disciples have really traveled with Jesus. They've done miracles. They fed the 5,000 and so forth and so on. But he asked them to take a trip with him to Caesarea Philippi. And you go back and do your history on that area. That area was not a good place to be. You know, he always went to those type of places, but there was all kinds of stuff going on there. And what I saw in all of that was that he took them to a place that had a backdrop of adversity to ask them this one question: who do you say that I am? And in the midst of everything that was going on, God is really wanting to know, okay, it was fine when everything was all good, you had the job and everything was going well and you was praising me and calling me Jehovah this and Jehovah that. But now that all of these negative things are going on around you and adversity is going on around you and that's all you see, and from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all of these challenges are coming, now who do you say I am? If you're looking at lack, can you now call me provider? So forth and so on. So that's the first stop. I want you to think about that in your life, the things that you've gone through or may be going through, what that backdrop looks like. But in the midst of that, who do you say that he is? Then he had this time where he really didn't want any part of the assignment he had been given. You guys remember when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them to kind of hang back and pray for him. They fell asleep, and he went into the garden because he really wanted. He went in the garden to pray because he really wanted nothing to do with the assignment that he had been given, you know. And I don't know if you've ever had that moment, but I know for me personally, I have. I was IT technology project manager for 20-plus years, and God introduced me to this business. And I remember after doing it for a season, I was having a little fun with it, you know, and not really taking it seriously, but having fun. And God really had asked me very strongly to step away from corporate America and to do this full time. At the time, I was really excited about it. Things were going well in the organization. And so I was like, wow, great. Well, I'm getting ready to go to platinum, you know, and all of that. And that's not what happened. And so I remember having that knee down to the floor and the carpet in my closet one day. I was getting dressed to go to a meeting. And I just told God, I didn't ask for all this. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And I remember with tears coming down my face, I'm saying, God, I just don't understand. Why did you take me away from that to be a part of something that was going to be dependent on other people's success, other people's word, other people, you know, period, you know, being dependent on people? And I didn't get an answer that day. But over time, the answer that I received from God was that, no, I had to help you understand it wasn't a dependence on people. It was a dependence on me. That's why I had to get you off of that job, because you were so dependent on that six figures coming in that you really couldn't see who I really was in your life. So that second stop in the Garden of Gethsemane really just was the breaking of Jesus's will to the will of the Father. And that's why he was crying, because I didn't shed blood, but I do remember how heartfelt that particular moment was for me when I just, you know, began to cry out to God. I don't understand it. This doesn't look like prosperity to me. This doesn't look like what you and I talked about. And so it was the dependency away from people and myself that God was trying to get me towards, the dependency on him. And then this next stop was the high moment of being celebrated. You remember as he was going in, this was all prior to the crucifixion, they brought him in on the donkey and they were laying down the palm leaves, and it was Palm Sunday. That's where Palm Sunday comes from. And he was being celebrated. You know, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, and so all of a sudden, that moment just switched overnight to where the same people that were celebrating him were now shouting, crucify him. Have you ever been in a situation, a church, a ministry, an organization, a job, a business, or connected with business partners that you were supporting one minute, and then the next minute they wouldn't answer your call? Or you were in a church or a ministry and you were, I mean, just things were happening. You were the leader in a particular ministry and everything was going well. And all of a sudden you woke up one morning and things had shifted. The same people that were celebrating you and said, oh, that was a great message you had did last week, or that was an awesome meeting you conducted last night, so forth. Now walking down the house of the ministry, they won't even speak to you. Now that's a whole nother message, but have you ever found yourself in a situation where the people that were celebrating you were now saying crucify you based on whatever the situation was, but still you found yourself in that situation? So if that's one moment in time on Jesus' journey I wanted you to take a look at. And then this fourth stop was when he was dragged in the course right before he was crucified. And though there were people standing around that knew his truth, they denounced and denied him anyway. And so have you ever been in a situation where, you know, maybe something had gone on on your job, your family, your church, or whatever, and God wouldn't allow you to speak up for yourself? He just told you to be quiet. I got this. I don't know about you, but he's done that to me. And as a leader in a ministry or even on a job, when something was coming at you, he wouldn't let you respond to it or defend yourself, you know. And so it's very humbling to do that, because you know the truth. And there are even people around you that know the truth, but because they don't want to get involved in the situation, they don't necessarily denounce you, but they're not trying to connect themselves with you either. That's very, very, very hurting. So that's another stop on Jesus' journey. And then this fifth stop I want to talk to you about, and that the I'll back up a little bit. The first one is really knowing who God is with the backdrop of adversity. Number two, not really feeling and accepting or wanting the assignment. And number three, going from high celebration to headed towards crucifixion. And then number four, being denounced and being rejected. And one more thing I want to say about that God showed me quite some time ago, is that it is not them that's rejecting you. It is your purpose rejecting them. See, Jesus had to die. So all of those things had to happen. That process had to happen. So it really was about his purpose at the end of it all, rejecting them, okay? So let's go to this next step, and that's actually the crucifixion, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this process of getting you there, and that place called there is your purpose, your destiny, there are some things on that path that has to die. And, it was very painful, and it is very painful, but you can't take it with you. It can't be at the end. It can't be there at the end of the journey. God has to remove that from your life. And, again, it is very painful. What parts of you do you know that you used to have that right now you know that had to go before you came to be on this ride to get to the end of your journey? So that's the death part of it. Now I want to talk to you about the resurrection part. And when I was, this message really came to me over time, and it kind of just came together. But the resurrection part of it, if you notice, when they went back to the tomb and found Jesus there, they found his grave clothes there, which means not everything came into the resurrection. He had to leave some things behind. And so there are some things that God wants you to leave behind that you may be still trying to carry on to the resurrection part of your purpose. And so I want you to let it go. Just let it go. No matter if it's people, it could be your mindset. You got to let it go because it cannot end up at the same place of where your purpose is about to take you. So, again, that's the resurrection, and he had to leave some things behind. And now this seventh part, I kind of call it the Pentecost stop of his life, because as that era began to come into play, Jesus came back. When he came back from the resurrection, and, this part I really got, because sometimes when you're going through this journey, you're hurt by people and, taught to forgive, and we do. We try to walk in forgiveness, but sometimes we don't always achieve that level of forgiveness that God is looking for. I'm just being transparent with you. We don't, but I'm telling you, to be able to step into your purpose as God wants you to step into your purpose, there are some people that want your purpose, or once you get into the resurrection phase, isn't it amazing how when Jesus was resurrected, he came and reconnected with those individuals that he was separated from, and even those that denied him, but he never brought it up. It never came up in the conversation, and it was all a part of the process. And I know some of us may be in that era now that, if God did get us to that point where our purpose was in full manifestation, we'd be ready to go back in some people's face and, do that and that kind of thing. And so, no, that has to be left back in the tomb. And so that he's working on, that's all a part of the process. But the ultimate is the day of Pentecost, when they begin to step into their purpose and the impact that they had on so many. But they would not have gotten to that place, that purpose place, had it not been for the other stop that they had to, the process that they had to embrace, and the other stop that they had to be joined with Jesus with and in. And so no matter where you are on this life is a trip. No matter where you are on this trip, maybe you do have chaos and adversity around you, but God really wants you to cry out, who do you say he is, even in the midst of all of this? Are you really feeling the assignment? God has given you some direction. It's not quite what you thought it was going to be. It looks different. It feels different. And maybe you're saying, I don't know about this, God, but what he's waiting for you to say is, not my will, but thy will be done. Maybe you're in a high season of celebration. You're enjoying it all. Or maybe you're in a transition of where all of a sudden you were being celebrated and now doesn't seem like you're being celebrated. You may feel like you're all alone. But no, again, this is all a part of the ride. It's all a part of the trip. Maybe you've been denounced, you've been rejected, but again, remember what I said. This is not about people. This is not about people rejecting you. It is about your purpose rejecting them. Don't take it personally. Maybe you're going through the death part of what you need to leave behind, what cannot make this journey with you. Allow God to do that. Yes, it may be painful, but just begin to know that he is there for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's on this ride with you all the way to the end. And maybe I know a lot of this is process over process over process, but when it comes to the resurrection, there's nothing like it. We experience it at certain times in our lives when things are just really, really high. You start seeing some things come together. I had a moment here in Houston, Texas, at a Super Saturday, and I didn't realize it was a moment that God had ministered to me a long time ago, and I was stepping into it at that very moment, and Pastor Vanessa had happened to be in the room at that particular time, and literally I was stepping into purpose that day, and before I got up to speak, God said, I told you that this day would come, and I had a little bit of a moment, but it was awesome to be able to see those things come to pass, and I just want to say to you that, no, this is not business as usual. This is the birthing of God's purpose for our lives. So at the end of it all, just embrace the process, and I'll see you at the finish line. Back to you, Robin.
Praise God. I so appreciate that. It is about purpose. Thank you so much, Sister Joan, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Right now, what I'm going to do is bring forward our prayer request. Father, we thank you. Because you are a God of purpose. You are Jehovah Jireh. You supply all of Sean's needs, all of Regina's needs, all of Jessica's needs, and all of Leslie's needs. I thank you, Father God, there is nothing missing in their lives, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that Sean has favor with the Rock program. I thank you, Lord God, that every bit of finances that is needed for Regina to go back to Israel to serve your people will come in. It's coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thank you, Father, because she put you first. She is serving your people, Father God, and you are going to take care of her because it's about your plan. It's about your purpose. You will be resurrected in your people, in those people in Israel, and we thank you for that, Father. You are the God of joy. You are the God of peace, and I thank you for restoring that in Jessica's home. I thank you, Father God, that a loan modification is nothing to you, and you will do according to what you said you will do in your word for your child because she's been faithful to you, and you are a faithful God. And, Father God, disability, it's a name. Leslie has your favor. It follows her. It's her shield. It's a guard. And I thank you that she has favor with the administration. I thank you she has favor with that particular agency, and she will be able to receive all that you said she is supposed to receive in the mighty name of Jesus. It is about purpose. It is about you. We thank you this season and every single day of our life. We thank you for the minister. We thank you for her being a minister of reconciliation, bringing the word forward, Father. We receive that word, and we will be a doer of your word in Jesus' name. Family, I want to say to you, praise God for all he has done in our lives and what he's doing. And as you've heard, we are thankful to the TMC family. Immediately following this call, we have our motivational call with Dorothy Cook. And I want to give you that number. That number is 530-881-1300. The PIN number is 539-598-pound. And this call was about Artists International. Many of us are distributors. We thank the Diaz de Leon family for what they have done, and we thank them for Artists International. And at this time, Sister Jonah, will you please come back and give us our benediction?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Close us out, sis. God bless you.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. We are so grateful. We're grateful for those that you've connected us with. We're grateful for the technology to be able to come from all parts of the world to come together just to put you first. Your word says to seek you first, and, Father, everything else will be added to us. And that's what we do on this call every single morning. Father, everyone on the sound of my voice, Lord, I just bless them. I speak the blessing of Abraham over them, Lord God. They are blessed to be a blessing, nothing missing, nothing lacking. And, Father, I thank you that as we come into contact with those that you have called us to come into contact with, that we will not be afraid to open up our mouth to share health, to share wealth, and most important, to share your word with them. We give you all the glory and all the praise, and we thank you for the founders and their obedience to this call. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed day, family. Remember, we are all ministers in the marketplace, and we are better together. God bless you.